Welcome to the Change Your World Relationships, Business, and Family Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the fabulous Miss Kathy Laufman. Kathy, won't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. So glad to be here with everyone. What an exciting conference and telesummit this one is. Such an important topic, and, you know, especially for a group like PSA or Public Speakers Association, you know, it really is all about relationships and connections, and it can feel a little bit overwhelming at times. And so I think it's wonderful that we're taking some time here with one of our telesummits to actually delve into one of those real basic foundation things. And that's how we relate to ourselves, to our inner circles, to our world, to all of it, our relationship. And when I was thinking about this and what I could bring, what value I could bring to the conversation, I really started thinking about the fact that we kind of tend to not be strategic or as intentional sometimes with our relationships. And, you know, I'm one of those folks that spent a couple of decades in corporate as an executive and still have some things ongoing there. But one of the things that you learn early on in business is you want to make sure that you're getting a return on your investment. And so we talk a lot about ROI. What's your return on investment? Well, if your relationships are one of your most valued assets, then shouldn't we be asking that question there too? What's our return on relationship? What's our return on investment within those relationships? So I call that our ROR. And I think that that's such an important thing for us to think about and even talk about. So just bear with me as we talk a little bit about this. I know this isn't something we always would think about in these terms, because we like to think about, well, I'm investing money and I want to know what the return is going to be if I put my money there. If I invest money, how much am I going to get back? What am I going to earn? Well, you know what? Time, money, and energy, that's really all we got, right? So we're going to be putting that into something, expecting a return out of it. So let's talk about that as it pertains to our relationships. I'm going to share with you five ways that I have found for me, this is really my personal perspective, that how I have achieved some confidence that when I'm investing in a relationship that I'm going to actually get the greatest return possible for my life and for my work. And really, you know, I'll be honest with you, it doesn't really matter what kind of relationship we're talking about. I think these five principles are going to apply. So let's get started. The first one, you know, it might be a little obvious, but the first way to be certain you're getting a maximum return is to honestly assess whether or not you're actually investing. You know, I've talked to people that, you know, I joined this group or I hired this person or I'm in this relationship and I'm just not getting out of it what I wanted. And it's like, okay, well, what are you putting in? What are you putting in? What are you investing? So even though it's obvious, we might think it's obvious, like, oh, of course, to get a return, you have to have an investment. How are you doing there? What are you doing there? How are you investing in that relationship? Remember, we always have to check in on ourselves first, be certain we're doing our part. I have found the best practice is assume it's me from the beginning. It's not that I'm taking blame. I'm taking responsibility. So if I take responsibility for everything and I assume it's me, I'm going to look at it and say, okay, what could I be investing? How could I be investing differently to make sure that I'm getting the maximum return on that invested relationship? The second place that I think we really need to check in is in that area of strategy and intention. You know, what's the purpose of the relationship? Are you clear about that? Is the other person clear about it? You know, clarity in relationships is absolutely crucial. You know, I think sometimes we're not getting what we need because we're not being clear about that with ourselves or with the other person or the people that are involved. you know, sometimes the miscommunication is what is actually the breakdown in the relationship. It's not that the other party doesn't want to meet the need. It's that they didn't really understand the need. And if you take responsibility for that, to make sure that you know what your expectations and intentions are, and you know the other parties, then that's really going to set you up for success in those relationships. And speaking of that, in terms of you and the other person, the number three on the list is about that, absolutely. And it's this word reciprocity. So there's a law of reciprocity that when you give, you get back. But, you know, this is not about keeping score. I want to be clear about that, because I think sometimes when we talk about relationships and reciprocity, we want this to be about keeping score, and it's not about that. It is about a balance, though. It is about a balance of give and take. What does the other person need from you, and are you actively engaged in meeting their needs? You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson said that one of the most beautiful compensations in life is that no one can sincerely try to help someone else without ultimately helping themselves. And I think that is so true. And so I also believe that what we need is what we should give. And so what we need from relationship is what we give to the relationship, there's that reciprocity, then I think, again, we've just positioned ourselves to really get the best we can get from any of our relationships. Number four is what I call checking in on our E factor. That's emotional and energy returns, you know, our emotions and our energy. How do you feel about yourself in the relationship? How does it make you feel about you? How does the other person feel? Is your energy lifted or is it drained? Does their energy come up or does it fall down? That's a really key point. You know, sometimes there's that old adage of oil and water, and, you know, sometimes things just don't mix. And you pull, it's not really that one person is good or bad. It's just the chemistry isn't quite there. And that's okay. That's not a judgment. That's just being honest and saying, you know what? This isn't fueling me. I'm not fueling you. I think we need to take a look at this. And then the final point is something that I call the horizon check. And this is really critical, because it's making sure that you're keeping up with what's changing for you and for them, and what that is going to make possible for you and even your relationship. What's it going to change? What's the impact of those changes? What needs to shift in the relationship for it to hold and even increase its value as you're going through those changes? You know, what I like about these particular check-ins is what I mentioned before, is that it really does not matter what relationship we're talking about. The same principles are going to apply. Whether it's our relationship with our family, with friends, colleagues, even our customers, we have to honestly review our own investment, our own intentions, the relationship balance, those emotional and energy responses, and continued opportunities for both of us for growth. You know, Jim Rohn taught that we're the average of the five people we spend the most time with in any given area of our life. Okay, so why not make those five people intentional? Why not look at the area of our life where we know we need to grow and focus first on how our relationships are part of creating those possibilities? What a great way to get a return on relationships is actually investing in them for a specific thing that you want to grow and improve in your life. You know, and remember, is the best way to receive what we need is to give that very thing to others. Let me just share with you that this has been a really strong focus for me over the past few years. Not so long ago, my community was really completely out of balance. I didn't even realize. I had no clue the impact that was going to have. I had work that I enjoyed, and, you know, it was really satisfying work. My staff and my team were all people I had handpicked. They were stimulating to work with professionally, and they were just really good people. Unfortunately, my circle was also really contained at that point and focused only on those relationships from my work. So when I went to the office one day and walked in and found my boss and someone from HR sitting at a table waiting for me to tell me that my position had been eliminated, it was a lot more than my professional world that shattered. It was, in fact, my entire relationship world. A balanced and focused strategy for the relationships in my life could have made a really significant difference at that point in time. So I became very determined to address that void in my life and to help others do the same. And that's where these five guidelines were born. I didn't have other relationships because I wasn't investing in them. There weren't personal support friendships because I didn't reach out for those. I was so busy and focused on shared business goals, I completely lost sight of the importance of achieving personal goals together. Feelings were definitely not part of what I sought on a value scale. I mean, this was corporate America, after all. Feelings and emotions aren't part of those equations. It was all about performance. And, of course, the most obvious, I had given zero thought to what changes might be coming that would impact, you know, key relationships and their sustainability within those changes. You know, if you've ever had this happen to you, when you lose your job, especially when you were in a position of authority as I was, no matter how close those relationships were, they're really tough to carry with you because those people are staying, and it's going to always be a point of it's just going to be a hard point, a pivot point for you to get past. And so there I was, left sitting in a parking garage after being let go from a job I loved and facing the fact that all of the people I knew well enough to even think about talking to about what had just happened to me were in the building I had just been escorted out of. That was a very, very lonely moment for me. And it became the catalyst of change that has made one of the biggest differences in my life. So let's talk about that, this being a catalyst of change for me. How do you do all this? You know, I mean, it's great to say, well, you should do these things, but how do you actually do that? How do you invest in relationships? How can we be intentional? How can we make certain we have reciprocity in that core circle? How do we make sure that our E factor is positive for everybody without taking on, you know, being responsible for everybody's happiness? And how do we not only sustain relationships during change, but in fact encourage change within our relationships so we can both be growing? Well, let me just tell you, the first action step is pretty simple. You got to get real honest with yourself about your relationships. This is hard. You know, this is just a hard thing because nothing represents comfort zone more than who you spend time with. So here's what I would recommend. I'd recommend that you list 5 to 10 people. Try for 5, don't go over 10, that you spend the most time with. And try not to make this, you know, all your immediate family. I mean, I'm talking about people that you actually engage with. And, of course, you know, if your spouse is there, put your spouse there. If you have a best friend, put a best friend there. But let's really focus on people that you spend time with. If you're not sure who those are, I tell you what, take the next couple of weeks and log it. Just make a note. Who do you talk with, socialize with, work with? Then look at the core areas of your life: health, finances, work, community, spirituality, personal growth. Look at some of those core areas. Check in with yourself by checking in with where they are. So let me give you an example. If health is a critical focus and goal for you, and nobody in your inner circle represents the standard you need to achieve, I got to tell you, it's time you got to make some changes. Doesn't mean you're going to stop being friends, or doesn't mean you're going to not have associations with those people. It does mean you're going to intentionally start seeking out people that are going to share those health goals with you. And hopefully somewhere in there are some people that are actually ahead of you on that curve and can support you in your quest. Now, let's be honest, over time, this really can result in, you know, waning of some relationships because of your own investments of time, But in the end, here's a nugget I want to share with you. It can also mean that you begin to have a really positive influence on your friends, and they start investing and engaging in better goals themselves. You know, we all want people in our lives that encourage us and even motivate us to be our best selves. And here's an opportunity, as you're doing that for yourself, to be lifting your friends there too. You know, this is an area for me, of course, that, you know, it was really hard. And because I was, you know, I liked people that didn't push me to exercise and do all the things I needed to do on my health. I really had to make a concentrated effort to reach out to people in that world. And I'm so glad that I have. And it's made such a difference for me. You know, let's talk about your finances for a minute. If your goals that you're focusing on are around your finances, do you have depth in your core group that you can draw from there? Is everybody broke? Because you know what? This is where that honesty's got to come in. You got to seek out the right relationships and influences as a place for you to invest in relationships. We're not meant to stay where we are. We really aren't. In fact, we're not going to. We're meant to grow. We can grow backwards or we can grow forwards, but we are going to change and evolve. You know, Charlie Tremendous Jones taught that where we are in 5 years to compare to where we are now is going to be determined by the books we read and the people we meet, the information we take in, and the people we converse with. Those people are meant to bring influence and also provide us with the opportunity to influence in kind. So the second step in this then is seeking out the same perspective about yourself, going back to that reciprocity factor, back to those people. Do you even know what the goals are of those inner circle people? You know, I recently heard a practice that one married couple uses that I thought was pretty interesting. They check in with each other every week. They have this thing. They spend Sunday evenings together as a couple, and they check in with each other every week, and they ask this question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being very disappointed and 10 being completely happy, how would you rate our relationships? Now it's not how you rate me or you. It's how do you rate our relationship? Some weeks the answer is 10, and some weeks it isn't. But there's a follow-up question here that for me, in hearing about this, was the change maker. If the answer is less than 10, the question becomes, what would it take to make that a 10 for you? You see, we can't hold people or ourselves accountable within a relationship to do what they don't know is needed. I just thought that was an incredible practice. Think about that in your business, with your staff, with, you know, with your boss, with the people that you work with really the closest, with your customers. Think of how powerful that conversation would be with customers. Then the third step is having actions that are aligned with your intention. So that sounds like, you know, just a string of words, but let me just talk to you about your calendar for a minute. Let your calendar become your measurement of your relationship values. If you're like me, if it's not on the calendar, it might not happen. In fact, it's probably not going to happen. Calendar entries don't just have to be, though, about appointments or time together. What's on your calendar should also be actions that we're going to take on each other's behalf. You know, give priority to your promises and your people. One thing that's helped me tremendously here is a practice that I learned from Tori Johnson, if you're familiar with her. She keeps a list of 50 people that are currently on her personal or professional radar. Some of these are, you know, core inner circle people, and they're on her calendar consistently. But others are on the calendar for something every week. So they may not be on there as somebody she might necessarily see every day. And so as a result of that, they get on her calendar every week, rotating in groups of five. So each week, there are five people on her calendar, which means over the course of every 10 weeks, she's touched all 50 people. They might get a phone call, a card, an email, maybe even just a tweet. They go in and retweet or do something. But she makes a deliberate contact and touches their life in some way every 10 weeks. Can you imagine? She makes that so deliberate, and she rotates it in a way that she knows she's not leaving anyone out. It's very, very, very consistent. So I think that's a great practice to help us stay engaged. And then the fourth practice is something that I learned from Brian Tracy, and it's called the Zero-Based Thinking Principle. And again, this goes back to that honesty, right? Depending on the relationship and situation, you may or may not use this. But here's what you do. You regularly check in with this question. Knowing what I know now, would I still? And then you fill in the blank. You know, this is not just for relationships, but I think it's a very valuable tool. And even when it's not about relationships, the answer impacts them. So knowing what I know now, would I still hire this person to be my virtual assistant? Knowing what I know now, would I still have this person on my team? Knowing what I know now, would I still be a part of a particular group? Because if the answer is no, then you're going to begin immediately to plan on how to extract yourself from that situation as quickly as you can. So let's take, for example, that question centers around a particular group, maybe a church affiliation, a networking group, maybe even a smaller group like a writer's group or a book club. But now let's say that you've developed a strong or several even strong personal relationships that have grown from that association. Now when you answer that question, here's a horizon change. And so now you're going to look at the impact of the change on those relationships. And you're going to make sure that as you go through that process, you don't have anybody that falls through the cracks because you've made some very, very specific reviews of that and you have a strategy to protect and serve the friendships beyond the group. And that's one of the ways that you can show sustainability even through that change. So, but let's recap for a minute. Let's go back and recap because we've talked about a lot of things. As with everything, it begins with us. Are we really invested and investing? Are we intentional and clear about our expectations? Are we committed to harmony and balance in our relationships? Is there a positive emotional and energetic response? Are we placing value on relationships within change and shifts in our lives? When we follow these guidelines, we know that the investments we make in others and our relationship with them is going to give both of us the highest possible return. That's a positive sense of ourselves, who we are, and our value in the world because we're creating a high value for each other. It just starts there. Just like our life is about our day, our relationship with the world around us is about our relationships one-on-one. But I do want to remind you that our first relationship that we need to look at in any of this is a relationship with ourselves. How are you invested in you? Are you intentional about your own nurturing? Are you in harmony? Do you have a positive emotional foundation? Are you checking in with yourself for how you're doing? Really, everything does begin with our own sense of self and how well we like ourselves. You know, one of my favorite thoughts on this, I heard many years ago from Golda Meir when she said, trust yourself. Create the kind of self that you will be happy to live with all your life. Make the most of yourself by fanning the tiny inner sparks of possibility into flames of achievement. You know, if we're happy to live with ourselves, it makes it so much easier for others to be happy to live with us too. I hope you found this helpful. You know, return on investment is something that matters to all of us. I do want to tell you that you can join in more discussion and conversations around the subject on my blog. You can find that at mckenziecircle.com. That's mckenziecircle.com. Or you can just go to kathyloffman.com. You'll end up at the same address. I spend a lot of time on the blog talking about return on learning, return on relationships, return on energy, and a lot more. You can also sign up for my mailing list there, and I hope you will do that. You'll receive a complimentary copy of my ebook, A Fresh Approach to Change. You know, lots of exciting things are happening this year. I've got a new book coming out. I have a new online learning center for personal leadership and growth on the horizon, and I would really love for you to join me and join our circle and be a part of all of that. So, again, remember, it starts with you. It's all about being clear, about being honest, about being invested, about being purposeful. It really is about making sure that what we expect is something that we are invested in and we're being really, really clear about. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Tanya. I'm a couple minutes early. So let me just say this. I do want to talk a little bit here before I close to tell you that groups like the Public Speakers Association is a great place for you to begin investing in relationships. You will never regret this investment. Tanya is, of course, one of my personal heroes, and I can tell you this. I've been a part of this organization now for a couple of years, and I have never regretted once the decision to make this a key relationship investment for myself, and I hope that you will consider joining us if you're not part of our group. And so with Tanya, with that, I will turn it back over to you.